Hello and welcome to the Brewers Journal podcast. My name is Tim Sheehan, editor of the Brewers Journal. As head brewer at Liverpool-based Asvex, Jack Walker is responsible for creating a raft of celebrated beers. And only this month, the brewery was awarded the accolade for Best Double IPA in England for Swedish Buzzsaw in the Untapped Community Awards. The 8.2% beer is dry-hopped with Citra, Strata, Mosaic and Nelson Sauvin. These types of beers, as Jack explains, are part of the modus operandi at Asvex. And that means hazy hops, big stouts and silly sours. In this podcast, recorded at Asvex, Jack talks us through his setup at the brewery and what makes them tick. He discusses their four-vessel brewhouse, which offers them ultimate flexibility and control over a multitude of variables in the brewing process. He explains that the fundamentals of their hoppy IPAs remain good basic brewing practice, but also evolving how and when they use hops, their percentage of adjunct grains, and always focusing on quality markers such as dissolved oxygen and pH. Currently, they are focused on biotransformation and the flavour impact from the interaction of yeast and hops, and they have done, as he says, some really silly 60% plus adjunct grain bills. Pray for our louter tongue, he says. We hope you enjoy it.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to Asvex Brewing Company. My name's Jack. I've been here for just about 2 years now, so almost since the beginning. Just missed the first 6 months of being here. Yeah, you might already know us, you might not, but if you don't, said we're just over 2 years old, two and a bit now. You probably know us for doing hazy stuff, New England IPAs, big double IPAs. Maybe you've tried some of the big stupid ABV stouts, and maybe you've tried some of the practically not beer fruited smoothie sours we do as well. I would like to say, I think we do really good lagers here as well, so if you do get a chance, if you've not already had a can, let us know. We're actually a really small team. Pretty much everyone from the brewery is in at the moment. There's four people pretty much full-time in the actual brewing side. So there's just me as the brewer, and then Ben is our assistant. We've got Charlie, who's our taproom manager. That one over there, the one who's really friendly and will help you out the entire time. We've got Paul helping as well. And then we've got Adam, who'll be hiding in the office, and you'll probably not see him anytime today. So if you do want to have Adam, go knock on the door and book him. Actually, I think Mark popped his head out, our sales guy as well, but he will probably also be hiding somewhere too. So if you do me a favor, just knock on the door all day and remind them who's up here talking. I think what our modus operandi here is, it's a bit cliche, but we do like to make big punchy beers full of flavor. We try not to compromise on anything that we do. We try to use good quality ingredients wherever possible. But it's also about sort of incremental gains, all those little 1% here and there to try and make bigger changes over processes and how we dry hop stuff and what we're choosing, what hops we're picking each year. But actually, to be honest, recently we've made some significant changes in the sort of past 4 months. But I thought I'd do a little bit of a dive into sort of our most recent hazy beer production and kind of what we're doing. I would caveat with saying, you know, we sort of have an understanding what's happening, but we're still also trying to work out where some of these flavours and where some of these results are actually coming from as well. A lot of it's on the sort of cusp of things at the moment. We're going to be talking a bit about the buzzwords like biotransformation and terpenes and thiols and stuff, and I still think there's a lot we've got to understand about those sort of processes. So for a start, we might as well start with the water we've got here in Liverpool. We're very fortunate to have really soft reservoir water from North Wales. Such a good base for any beer. It's super low in all sorts of salts, but we favour quite a lot of calcium chloride in all our beers. Surprise, surprise, when you're making hazy IPAs, chlorides do help with body and mouthfeel. And for a while, we were sort of backing it up with doing a little bit of gypsum as well. But we've sort of resorted to kind of pretty much almost exclusively just using calcium chloride for a lot of beers and then acidifying down to sort of the pHs we were looking for in the mash. We also sort of acidify further downstream as well, so we keep our kettle pHs around 5.1. We also then acidify even further in the whirlpool as well. part of the reason we do that is because the amount of hops we're sort of adding in the back end of the process, we find our pHs creep quite a bit. And in terms of stability and just general QC, that really helps us to kind of maintain correct conditions and stuff throughout the beers. So probably already given away a little bit of our process, which is very hop heavy towards the back end. In terms of mashes, we've now gone all in on doing silly mashes that are sort of 60-70% adjuncts. We're literally having sort of 30% of the grain bill being wheat, about 30% being oats, and then the remainder being a base malt. At the moment, super pale malt, but we have used other sort of more colourful and less more modified malts as well. That might sound a bit mad, and yeah, you do get super low efficiency, and yeah, you do get really sticky mashes, as I was having conversations about with Brian from Northern Monk. I need to use Tryzyme. But we have a four-vessel brew house, we have a lauter tun, and in theory, we can get those beers through, in theory. But, you know, why do we do that? We are just trying to maximise the body and the protein content of these beers. We found the results we get from using such a high amount of adjuncts really does add to that sort of silkiness that we're looking for. And I'm not going to lie, we all play a game of aesthetics when it comes to hazy IPAs. And some people like them when they look like opaque, like wallpaper paste, and that's what we like. We like really opaque beers that are super bright, super like fluorescent in colour as well. And part of that is getting that protein content in there too. We also mash relatively warm, sort of typically about 68 degrees Celsius, so we are finishing a bit sweeter in those beers too. And we actually mash really thick. We tend to mash about 2 litres per kilo, maybe a little bit more depending on the volume, or a little bit less even, sorry, in the mash. Because we have a mash mixer, we can go thicker, and we find that really helps us maximise the efficiency out of a really inefficient mash. So yeah, I've already said, expect your low efficiency, expect stickiness if you are ever going to try this. And also, pHs are weird when you've got that many adjuncts in. We find we have to acidify more than we might have to do with other beers. And yeah, we do keep our pH probes calibrated, and that's quite regularly we'll see our pHs being not what we anticipate. In terms of the boil and sort of hot side additions, we have a relatively low sort of bitter in addition. We might use extracts, or we might use a small amount of hops, but we're only aiming for sort of 5 to 10 IBUs on the hot side. We find a lot of bitterness does come through from dry hopping, whether that's polyphenolic or something else is going on in interactions. But I do think our beers have a level of bitterness to them, but I could almost exclusively say they're probably not from the small amount of hops we're adding in the kettle, to be honest. We also use Protoflok, and quite a bit of it, because there is a lot of protein in there, and the protein you don't want to come through, we want to try and separate that, all the, again, efficiencies when you're trying to get lovely, lovely hoppy wear, or not so hoppy wear, out of protein sludge is painful. We also do use sugars too, again, low efficiency. We will lean on using some dextroses and maltodextrin as well to sort of, again, keep a higher finishing gravity and sort of maintain some body as well. If we do any sort of flavour aroma additions, we will do them all in our whirlpool. Again, fortunate to have a really nice separate whirlpool that actually whirlpools. It really does actually spin. And we're only really doing something like 4 to 5 grams per litre on that addition. Sometimes it's less than that. And because we can make different beers almost every week, we can experiment. Sometimes we try doing no hot side additions at all. I'm trying to think if any of the ones on the board have none in, but there's certainly quite a few up there that are from these sort of styles of beers. So yeah, relatively speaking, on the hot side, we're pretty low on those sort of hops. We have kind of looked into sort of the precursor hops. So there's some sort of research saying that some of the old school sea hops like Chinook and Centennial and the like, even SARS, I've heard, have got a lot of the precursors for biotransformation. Really big words, but essentially we can get better results from the biotransformation process by preloading it with certain hops. We've not really experimented much with that. We've done a few beers with some sort of sea hops on the hot side, but we like to use the big name hops. We like to use the Mosaics, the Citras, the Galaxies, and the Nelsons of this world. So we still kind of lean heavily on those really big punchy varieties, even sort of on the hot side. And that leads us to probably the kind of strangest thing we do, which is most of our dry hopping, or a proportion of our dry hopping, is sort of staggered throughout the fermentations. We play around with our yeast quite a lot as well. So we, for a while, we had a quiet strain that was our house yeast. We had that maybe for about the first year and a bit of production, and then we wanted to move away from it. We kind of thought it was a bit one-dimensional, wanted to try some different yeast out, and there's so many out there to try. And we've gone through quite a few over time, but we sort of settled into the really boring sphere of London Ale 3 clones and variants because they seem to do a job really well, which is be really high in ester profile. They tend to be a little bit lower in attenuation, which again, we're sort of favoring. And they're also quite good at the biotransformation as well, or so we think. We've yet to try anything like the actual kind of thiolized yeasts or anything like that. From the beers we tried that use them and the sort of examples we've had, we've not necessarily gone like, this is the next big new thing, this is mad. But obviously we are also tapping into that a bit by doing these sort of hopping regime in the fermenter. So there is, to us, there is certainly something in biotransformation, and maybe there is something in the sort of thiol sphere as well. But we don't use any hop products as well. We typically are T90 and maybe some cryo. We haven't really touched anything like Spectrums or any of the liquid hop products. We haven't done anything like Phantasm, the freeze-dried grape must or anything like that, or Mega Motueka, which is probably the best name of a hop thing I've ever heard, which I believe is Phantasm and Motueka, which I love. I love Motueka, so maybe I should try that. Well, we've yet to try any of those things, but we still feel that this sort of biotransformation is really helpful in the sort of profile we're looking for. Big fruity, papyri, guavery things, I suppose. So we'll do an addition on pitch, actually. So we'll pitch in our yeast and let that kind of, we do use wet yeast, we'll try and let that get in, maybe not too long afterwards, half an hour, once we know it's all kind of mixed in. We'll chuck in a hop addition to kind of even get that biotransformation right from the get-go. Well, then towards the back end of the fermentation, we'll chuck in a little bit more. We'll tend to feed a little bit of sugar in as well, just to get the yeast to kind of get going a little bit and sort of mix those hops in really nicely. There's probably about 10 to 20% of our hops are going in these sort of early stages, and we're still reserving most of our hopping for a big dry hop at the end. So we still want some of that variety specific. I've used Galaxy and I want you to taste Galaxy. I've used Nelson and I want it to smell like grapes. We still want that punch, but we try and back it up with these sort of biotransformation flavors, these sweet tropical fruit notes and bits and bobs like that. In terms of hopping, I wouldn't necessarily say we're doing anything out of the ordinary. Yeah, we do have high hopping rates for the big beers, like double IPAs and stuff, and we might be up at sort of 20 grams per litre for a dry hop, maybe down to something more like 15 grams per litre for an IPA and more like 10 for a sort of pale ale. So we are doing a lot, but we're certainly not up in the 30s or the 40 grams per litres that you can see when you're doing big, crazy double IPAs. I'm sure Brian is having kittens hearing me talk about 40 grams per litre when he's doing efficiencies in the brew house later. So I'm sure he'll mention something about hopping rates later on as well. One of the big things we find, as is the same with every beer, is that, you know, quality control is so important in what we do. You know, when you're making the big hazy beers, your dissolved oxygen is just absolutely paramount to shelf stability and longevity of a beer. If we're anything sort of above 30 ppb now, it's a bit of a red flag for like, okay, we're not really where we want to be, but we're not too bad. And if it's anything sort of anywhere above there, really, but if we're going above 50, yeah, something's significantly wrong, and we really need to be careful with what we're doing forward with that. Also, you know, chucking hops in and these sort of fermentations that we keep adding bits of sugar to and adding hops to, there is a risk for diacetyl and other sort of things that don't get swept up out of the fermentation if you don't give it time. So our IPAs tend to take quite a bit longer. We're more kind of around the 3-week turnaround time if everything's on par, but we will try and give them quite a bit of time because there is a lot of polyphenolic matter of hops in there, and there is a lot of potential for hop creep, and there's a lot of potential for hop burn as well. Quite kind of glad to say we don't really see it very often, but we have had some beers where we have had like, oh my god, that is hop burn to hell and back, and we really do have to give it time because there is no way that's going if you start going through the process and packaging it. And the other thing as well that we've heard a lot about but haven't necessarily experienced yet is sulfurous thiols. So almost if you push this sort of thiol path too far, you can sometimes release aromas that aren't so pleasant. And if they go past a certain threshold, then yeah, you're going to get a really unusual flavour and aroma as well out of the beer. So it's something to kind of look for. That's pretty much it. I was very last minute addition to this. I was only going to do about 10 minutes or so, but I'm hanging around all day. And if anyone wants to have a look around the brew house or anything later on, just let me know. I'll just be down over there. So thanks ever so much for coming. Hopefully you all enjoy yourselves. The pizzas in particular are phenomenal, so I'll give them a big up. The beers, I don't know, they're all right. Thank you ever so much.
The Brewers Journal podcast is a production of Rebe Media, produced and hosted by Tim Sheehan, sound engineering by Ross McPherson, series supervision by John Young. The executive producer is Rory Harris, and special thanks to Jack Walker of Azvex.